some kind of a spiritual death. We're talking about the fact that they buried that man. And the rich man's five brothers knew it. The rich man's five brothers knew that man had been buried. And the rich man sang, if he went to them, they'd hear him. Now, there are a lot of people out here today that say, well, if they saw this miracle, if someone went to them, they'd hear them. Do you know what the Lord said? He said, they won't hear. Now, watch it carefully. He said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, I told you at the outset, there are a lot of people that would laugh at you when you call this the Word of God. But folks, that's true. There are a lot of people that... I won't even talk to you. That's the attitude that... I'm serious. That individuals have who have no respect for the Word of God. But Abraham says, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, if they won't hear what's written in God's book, he said they will not hear. They will not hear though one went to them from the dead, though one rose from the dead. He said, you send them individuals that were raised from the dead, isn't going to change anything. Why isn't it going to change anything? Why isn't it going to change anything? I want to go back to verse 15. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God knoweth your hearts. God knoweth your hearts. You see, these people's problem isn't up here. It's not their inability to read the Word. It's not their inability to read the Word. Their problem is right here. Their problem is right here. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I'm not talking about this thing down here that has oracles and ventricles and so forth. He's talking about the soul of man. Okay? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And there's no fear of God before his eyes. That rich man had no fear. And I want you to notice something else. That rich man now comes up, and that rich man does not acknowledge, that rich man does not say, I'm sorry for all the time that I didn't care about Lazarus. He does not acknowledge one error of his ways except to say that if Lazarus went to his brothers, they would repent. He didn't say they'd hear. He said if Lazarus went to them, they'd repent. Now, if you didn't get the message, he didn't repent. And I'm going to say to you, he didn't repent and they wouldn't repent. He didn't repent and they wouldn't repent. And the reason they wouldn't repent, the reason he didn't repent, was because he didn't have a heart to repent. Okay? Now, what we're dealing with right now in this situation, he said in this situation, I'm talking about Abraham said, they will not hear though one rose from the dead. Now, here's my point, and I want to watch several things that take place right here. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he declared himself to be the Son of God. He declared that he was the Son of God come down from heaven. Did they believe he was the Son of God come down from heaven? There were some that did, but most didn't. There were some that did, but most didn't. Now, those that didn't, would... If he paraded down the streets of Jerusalem, showing the nail prints in his hand and the scar in his side, if he paraded down the streets of Jerusalem, would that cause those individuals who were there to believe, to have a change of heart? Folks, they say seeing is believing, seeing's not believing. Seeing's not believing. There was a time that Thomas was rebuked for requiring to see the nail prints in his hand before he'd believe. But the Lord said, more blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. Now, what I want you to see right here, as we look at this situation, And why it's so important for us to understand the truths that are taught here. The truths that are taught here is number one. Not all Jews are going to heaven. There are some people that have the idea that every Jew is going to heaven. Could I say to you, that's not Bible? That may come out of the book of I Think So, but that's not Bible. Okay? Not all Jews are going to heaven. Okay? Now, the second thing that's involved right here, is no amount of wealth is going to put a man in heaven. And no amount of poverty is going to keep him out. You see what I'm saying? Your status here in this world doesn't have a thing in the world to do with whether you're going or not going. But I want you to say, I want you to see the importance right here. That rich man wouldn't have missed, what it would have taken to sustain Lazarus completely. But he didn't care for Lazarus. What's this, what this is making manifest to you is the true nature of the heart of that man. He didn't have one ounce of compassion. And I ask you this morning, if you had a poor beggar that was lying outside your place, and all he wanted was a few crumbs, could you let that go on day after day after day and not go out and see and take care of him? You see, what's that? The reason you couldn't do that is that's saying that your heart's too sensitive to the needs of that man out there. You may not be able to cure all of his problems. You may not be able to take care of all of his problems. But the point is, do you care about his problems? Do you care about him? Or are you concerned about yourself? Okay? Now, the next thing that's involved. Not all Jews are going to heaven. But there's truly a literal heaven. And heaven is just as real as hell is, and vice versa. Hell is just as real as heaven is. There's one big difference in those two. Hell's temporary. Heaven's eternal. You say, well, preacher, don't you believe in the everlasting punishment of the wicked? Yes, I do. I believe the blessings of the righteous and the punishment of the wicked shall be equal or eternal in duration. Hell is described in the Scriptures as a temporary dwelling place for the souls and spirits of the departed wicked. Okay? And at the end of time, death and hell, Revelation chapter 20, death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. And they were cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. They were cast alive into the lake of fire which burneth forever and ever. Now, my point being right here, hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. They're both very real. They're both very physical. We're not talking about a state of mind. We're not talking about a condition. We're talking about a place. Now, I don't know how to be any more plain with that, except to say that it's a place. Okay? Now, next point that's involved. When an individual is saved by the blood of Christ and heaven is their home by the sacrifice of Christ, there's not a way that they will ever be consigned to hell for one moment. Now I want you to notice something else. That rich man, even in hell, in the midst of that torment, who's that man still concerned about? Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented. That rich man is still concerned about himself first and foremost. And if he can't come help me, at least go help my brothers. Go warn my brothers so that they won't come here. Now the next thing, the next lesson that's involved in this situation is they will not hear, he said, if they won't hear Moses. And I say to you in all sincerity, you can prepare yourself to study the Word of God, and you ought to study the Word of God, so that you can be able to give anyone that asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. We all have a responsibility to the God of heaven to do that. But hearing the Word of God, hearing the Word of God has nothing to do with changing the heart. Hearing the Word of God has nothing to do with changing the heart. Proverbs 16:1 says, The preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue are from the Lord. Now you want to have a man who can read this Word, hear this Word, believe this Word, love this Word, obey this Word. God's going to do a work in his heart before he can hear, believe, read, and obey this Word. And he'll love this Word. Unless God's done a work in his heart, that man is still going to be like that rich man. Now, sometimes individuals get the idea that, well, you know, if there was some great, marvelous miracle that could take place, perhaps they would believe. Perhaps they would understand. I say to you, it's a miracle that any believe. It's a miracle that any believe. When an individual believes, it's an evidence that God's already performed a miracle because they've already been born of the Spirit of God. They've already been brought from a death in sin to a life in Christ. God's still in the miracle business, folks. And he'll be in that business until time is no more. And when time is no more, he's still in the miracle business. Because he's going to perform the last one. He's going to perform the last one. He's going to take them all to be with him in the glory world. And you talk about miracle of miracles. That's when God's people are going to be made fit to dwell with him. While we're in this lifetime, we all are compassed about with sin. Sin's present in these bodies. And because sin's present in these bodies are going to die. These bodies are going to die. But Paul said, we shall not all sleep, we won't all be dead, but we shall all be changed. Because these bodies as they are right today, they're not fit to dwell with God in glory. They're not fit to dwell with God in glory. But God said, he's going to change them. You know how long it's going to take? Less time it takes me to snap my fingers? He said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How long does it take you to blink your eye? He said, just that quickly, this body's going to be changed. This body's going to be changed. It'll no longer be a natural body. It'll be a spiritual body. It'll no longer be a weak body. It'll be a powerful body. It'll no longer be corruptible. It'll be incorruptible. It'll no longer be mortal. It'll be immortal. It will no longer be a sinful body. It'll be a sinless body. It will no longer be consigned to this earth, but it'll be consigned to heaven's pure world. I say to you that all this is a blessing of the God of glory for the heirs of grace. And I say to you that Lazarus is not in heaven today because of what he did. He's not in heaven today because he laid at the gate of the rich man. He's in heaven today because Jesus loved him and God was his helper. God was his helper. God was his advocate. And I say to you in all sincerity as we look at this situation, the next time we begin to read any portion of God's book, let's read the lesson very clearly for what it is, for what it says, and then apply the lessons in our own lives and realize as we look at this situation that there's a lot of lessons can be drawn from this, and the ones that I have highlighted, pointed out to you this morning, don't begin to cover every lesson that's involved in this circumstance. But I say to you in all sincerity that we need to understand that, yes, this was two literal individuals, and most likely, one last point, most likely this was the upper crust that Christ was talking to. These were the leaders of society. And if there were an individual that was just a nuisance, he laid outside the gate of one of your best friends, and he just continually wanted to be fed with crumbs that fell from your table. You suppose that might have made the circles? Might have the story gotten around? I strongly suspicion, I can't prove this, but I strongly suspicion that these people knew a poor beggar by the name of Lazarus. Now, again, I said I can't prove that, but I strongly suspicion that they knew a poor beggar by the name of Lazarus. They might have all been troubled with him at one point in time. And they might have also known that rich man that fared sumptuously, that died. Now, they didn't see that rich man die and go to hell. They just knew he died. They didn't see Lazarus die and be carried into by the angel into Abraham's bosom. They just knew he died. But the Lord, who knows all things, is able to tell them where both those men went after they died, where both those men went after they were buried. And I strongly suspect that those individuals knew exactly who the Lord was talking about when he was telling them about this rich man, a certain rich man that fared sumptuously. You know, there's always one that's kind of the leader of the pack. And they probably all had their little times of complaining about that poor beggar Lazarus. Wish he'd get out of here and leave us alone. He's just not quite good enough for us. Now, you take what I have just said and you think about it for a while. But I trust we're all in agreement this morning that there was a certain rich man that died and was buried and was his soul consigned to hell. And there was a poor beggar. That when he died, God did with that man what he does with every heir of grace. At the moment, the eyes of this body close in death, that inner man inside this prison house is set free and is escorted by the angels of God directly to heaven's pure world to await the resurrection morning when this body will be raised. It'll be reunited, body, soul, and spirit, to dwell with God forever. May God bless you as you consider the things that I've tried to set before you this morning.